This morning I should like to turn to Matthew 1, verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Joseph, a just man. Men can be just, you know. And God expects men to be just. When I came onto this passage for presentation to the church, I was carried back to what we discussed several months ago when we learned about manliness and behavior. It was on the occasion that we were studying about the Philistines when they recognized that the Ark of the Covenant had gone up to be among the people of God, and they felt that they were in big trouble, and they said, "Quit ye like men, be strong." And this morning I went back to my notes and I recognized that there are certain things that are expected of men. Amen. We expect men to behave a certain way. And we found that about things that are not manly. To believe without evidence. Men are not supposed to believe things that come to their mind when they don't have evidence to support it. Regardless of how inviting that thing may appear, to be a man requires that we must see the evidence and call for it. And if the evidence is not coming to us, a man's business is to say, "I don't believe it." Our world would be a different place if men, especially when they are in positions of leadership, would stand up and say, "I don't have the evidence for this, and therefore, I will not believe it." Second, it's not manly to neglect known duty. You got a duty, do it. You can't neglect it and be a man. Men have responsibility, and those responsibilities they have to stand by. To prefer pleasure to business is not manly. If you got business to do, do it. There's a lot of stuff that could go on that you would enjoy better and enjoy a lot more. It's not manly to go and enjoy pleasure, neglecting duty. To find fault without evidence is not manly. How many people can just react to their feelings? How many men could just feel a certain way and run with it, and they find fault with something, somebody's trying to do something, and they can't recognize the good that somebody else is trying to do? They can find fault with it. And my friends, it's not manly. To live only for the passing day is not manly. When a man gets up in the morning, he can't just live for that day alone. He's got to understand that it's not manly to live like that. It's time to grow up. Little boys can do a lot of things and get away with it, but you see, they don't have responsibilities. But men have a lot of responsibilities. And in order to balance that responsibility with their duties of the day, they've got to recognize they can't just live for the passing day. They got to plan ahead. They got to think a little bit more. And then there are some things that are manly. And the first thing that's manly is to find out and hold fast to truth. To be a man requires growing up and finding out some things that are true and some things that are false, and to reject the false and to hold on to the true. Second, to be serious about serious things. To be a man requires that some things are serious, and everybody in life needs to know that. And when you have serious things to deal with, you must act seriously about serious things. Third, to be kindly to all, and most of all to the weakest, is something that is manly. When you find a man who likes to go and boss around other people, especially women, beat up those that they could beat up, and throw their weight around, look, my friends, there's nothing manly you're looking at. You're looking at a wimp. You're looking at a coward. To be a man requires that a man must recognize that there are some people that are weak, and we must be kindly to the weak. Amen. They got a man running for president. I won't call his name this morning, but his name is Trump. He could say anything. And I wonder why he thinks it's in order to talk like that. Really stupid. I'm glad that he's about to get a big high fall soon. He really thinks he's going to be president of this country. But you can't just talk about a woman and say, look what her face looks like. I mean, it's not manly to talk like that. I've come here this morning in this pulpit deliberately to say that it's not manly to live a certain way. To be manly is to fear God more than all men. It's to be the image of God. God making us in his image, walking this world. And looking at us, who he's made, and smiling. When we walk away from that image, that glorious image of God, in which God made us, when we walk away from that image, is to rebel in the face of God and be less than God desires in us. Hear me, friends. To be manly is to overcome the devil himself by God's help. That when God put us in this world, he made us to be overcomers. He made us strong. He made us to overcome and subdue the world. Amen. Replenish it. Subdue it. That's the design with which God made us. And to be less than that, my friends, is to be less than manly. Now, if you would open your Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, in verse 17, God is revealing a design and a plan. He's telling us all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to carrying away into the Babylon was 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Sounds like a plan, right? Amen. God brings Joseph into a plan that is already unfolding. God works with men. And Joseph was a man. Joseph was no angel. Joseph had tendencies like any of us in here would have tendencies. But God brings man into his plan with all of man's tendencies. And Joseph is supposed to act on this stage into which God brings him. The Bible goes on to say, the birth of Jesus was like this. Mary was espoused to Joseph. In our language, we call that an engagement. And in this engagement, two young people here are in love with each other. Love is a nice thing, you hear, people. There got some people who got problems with love. You should hear them talk about this. They love. They love one another. You think that they're talking about something bad. Love is a good thing.
Amen.
Amen. And we must know that God designed men and women to love one another in a conjugal manner. Amen. This is not loving like how mother loves son. No, my friend. This is the love that a man and a woman has for each other, and God made it. Amen. It's nothing to be laughed at. It's nothing to be scorned. There's nothing to be thought of that something got to be wrong with him before he could be falling in love, or something wrong with she. What's wrong with she? She in love. That's what's wrong. Look, my friends, that's nonsense, you hear? Joseph and Mary were two red-blooded young people in love with each other, engaged, planning for marriage. That's normal, upright, clean behavior. There's nothing to be snickered at. Amen. You find people who never pleased with any wedding they find they vex. Something got to be wrong with them. You mean to say never? You never find anybody that you please with? Everybody choose wrong? You're the only person to choose right? Listen, my friend, you need to get yourself straightened out. You should need to drink some Epsom salts. You need to be flushed out. You're full of nonsense. People need to live in this world conscious that it's a beautiful thing for people to be in love with each other. It's a, one writer said, many splendid thing. Is there what? April rose that only grows in the early spring. It's a reason to be living. A golden crown that makes a man a king. True love is a many splendid thing. And Joseph and Mary knew what it was to be in love. Planning to get married with all their wishes in the world. Marvelous thing it is indeed. Verse 19. Joseph, her husband, found what is there in verse 18. Mary, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now let's understand the enormity of this story. What would you do if your daughter comes and tells you that she's pregnant, but she's pregnant by the Holy Ghost? What would you do? What would you say? Don't say it now. But I want you to see this as a real human experience. That Mary turns up pregnant, and she said, the Holy Ghost is the daddy. You know, I had a rare case like this in England. A man and a woman were married and they were going to this Pentecostal church. I knew the people. I saw them very active in the church. A preacher came to the church. And the next thing, this woman is pregnant for the preacher. It was on the front page of the News of the World. They got the biggest print in the whole of London. The print is big. It hit the headlines on the News of the World, and the News of the World had it. They claimed the Holy Ghost told them to get the child. This woman and the preacher, they claimed the Holy Ghost led them to get this child. And the husband thought they're right. My friends, they had that story all over England. People were making jokes on all the talk shows at night. The church took a bashing because of two Pentecostal preachers who claimed the Holy Ghost. I've come this morning to tell you that Joseph's story was just as real as those two Pentecostal preachers in London in the 60s. I don't want us to look at this story with rose-tinted glasses because you read it in the Bible. I want you to go and live it out with these people who are facing a real situation. Was she pregnant by the Holy Ghost or not? And to this day, men have chosen to reject this story of the Immaculate Conception. And Joseph was living in the first generation of that story. Now, today we say we believe it, but sometimes we don't even think about it before we say we believe it. What we do, we say we believe. I believe. But we haven't really thought through what we said we are believing. Well, you know, men are supposed to weigh the evidence before they believe it. And we can criticize Thomas when Thomas said, "Give me the evidence." I don't want us to do that. I want us to be a people who would believe. And if you're talking about God, you've got to be talking about some times, some things that are unbelievable, hard to believe, hard to take. The concept of God is a concept that people must embrace, truly embrace. And to say that you embrace when you don't is to make a fool of yourself. For a man to stand up and say, "I believe," he must weigh the evidence and say, "I think it's on the side of believing." And sometimes when you struggle with that, if it's in the Word of God, you got to feed on it. And when you feed on it, allow the Word of God to grip you. And don't just glibly say, "I believe," when you don't believe. I pray, God, that you would take time and study your Word, because that would make you really believe. But the truth about most of us is we don't read it. We don't study it. We don't allow it to wrap us up. And as a result, we get away with saying, "I believe nothing. You haven't even read it. You haven't even embraced it." But when you embrace the Word of God, it has a ring of truth. Amen. And something in it gets you. Amen. And it does something for you when you believe the Word of God. Amen. Now, Joseph is faced with that predicament. The girl to whom he's engaged is pregnant. And she says, I'm pregnant with the Holy Ghost, baby. And Joseph, like any other man, didn't believe it. And Joseph, like any other man, said, this is the end of this engagement. Hey, this story done right now. And that's the manly way to respond to that situation. Don't kid yourself. If you're any kind of a man, you would sympathize with Joseph. I do. And God recognized the enormity of the task that Joseph was given. And God took it in hand to deal with Joseph. The verse says he was minded to put her away privily, consistent with the nature of his being. That he is a real man, he's an upright man, he isn't acting trivially, he got responsibilities, and so to put her away is the right thing to do. But you don't have to put her away and make a big stink out of it. And Joseph wasn't going to make a stink out of it because he was a proper upright man. Amen. A lot of good men intending to act out on some situation that they have to act out, gotta really stink up the whole place. You don't have to do it. To be a man doesn't mean you gotta always stamp up and fight up. No. And he was going to do it quietly. Amen. Verse 20 says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and God took this thing in hand. And God will always take it in hand. Because God knows that the situation that Joseph was facing was a major disaster in life. So God sends an angel, a special messenger to Joseph. Aren't you glad that God is like that? Amen. God is like that. God is faithful. God knows the reality of this situation. You know what the scandal was. But it's not just a little village story. This is something where the law requires that these people should have been stoned. Joseph and Mary, both of them, they must be put to death. Because they wouldn't have sexual relationships before marriage, engaged or not. Now, I know that in our days, 12-year-olds are jumping in and out of bed. But in this generation, in this family, where these people lived clean, upright lives according to the word, God had kept them from generation to generation by the word. And marriage was an exclusive zone. The bed undefiled in marriage. But outside of marriage, it was rejected. The rejection of intercourse outside of marriage was strong. And we, as Christians, believe that. We believe that's how Christians are supposed to live. When I was a young man, I remember the man who had the biggest influence on my life was Billy Graham. Because about the same time that I got saved, Billy Graham was rising in his ministry. And I thank God that Billy Graham spoke on all kinds of subjects. And those of us who were serious about walking with God, listened to Billy Graham every week, every week, every week. He wrote books and we read it. He produced films and we watched those films. Billy Graham was my mentor as a young man. This week I listened to him preach. They preached, repeated one of those messages on television. I lie down there enraptured, listened to Billy Graham again. And he was one of the men who really helped me to set some standards for my own life. And he was the one who taught us that Christian young people shouldn't kiss until they're engaged. Now, you might agree with that. I know the times have changed till they live together now. But I believe that, and I live by that rule. And when I listened to him preach this week, I thought, God, I thank you for this. It saved me from a lot of trouble And I've been to all kinds of places, and I've lived under all kinds of temptations. But God made a difference and kept me under all kinds of circumstances. And I told you, church, that I even believe that the reason that God kept me is because of eradication. That the reason that God helped me to live clean is because he had eradicated the carnal nature from my heart. Well, I studied the word of God as I grew up, and I realized, no, there's no eradication. God knows how to defeat every nature in us. God knows how to give victory to any man who would trust him. There's not no eradication. And I believe that, you see, this eradication is not true. The word of God doesn't teach that. But I believe, I belong to a group of people who believed it and preached it. And I accepted it as a boy. But I learned that is no eradication. What it is that God could keep you living in this world. There's victory in this world for the man who would be serious about God. And Joseph belonged to that group. I praise God that that group has gone right back to Abel. The Bible calls him righteous Abel. Men who lived before God intending to please God. And God can touch you and bring you into that same arrangement with Abel and Joseph here. And every other believer who've lived through the years, believe in God that this saving faith is real faith. That God not only forgives us of our sins, but God keeps us in this world living an upright life here in this present world. That's the teaching of God. Now, Joseph belongs to that group. And so Joseph was going to put her away quietly, but the Lord spoke to Joseph, appeared to him saying, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Oh, how God is faithful, my friends. And I'm saying that you live close to God. God gonna manifest himself to you just like he manifested himself to Joseph. And Joseph is our hero this morning. In the formal church, they call this the second Sunday of Advent. And we lift Joseph to the church this morning and say, church, look at Joseph, a man who's called on to do manly things. He's getting no medal for what he does. And men, you're not going to get any medal either for being a husband, for being a son, for being a father, for being a man. No medals are given out for this. And they got a thing they call Father's Day. Don't believe them. They're faking you. Father's Day, nothing. And the stores put up Father's Day. And the only reason they put up Father's Day is because they already put up Mother's Day. Don't believe them. You got no medals to get for being a man. Joseph got no medals for being Joseph. And yet he is handed the most impossible thing to believe. Joseph has got to walk in this world and say, she's pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. See? This is what the angel tell Joseph. Appeared unto him saying, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. By the way, I want to tell you that every man who is serious about walking with God gets an unction just like this from God when it comes to the matter of marrying any woman. You don't just marry like that. You go before the Lord and you seek the Lord. And when you seek the Lord gives you guidance. I call it the clear light of heaven. And when you get that clear light of heaven, my friends, it makes all the difference in the world for you, because you, as a man of God wanting to walk with God, you go before God and you pray. You say, Lord, make it clear to me. Lord, is this what you want me to do? Because you know you're marrying for life. You're not marrying for jokes. And you see, when you get that clear light of heaven, Brother Williams, you're good against the world. Anybody could say what they want. You got it from God. And you're going to love this girl for the rest of her life. And you could tell her, girl, as far as I'm concerned, you safe, you hear? You safe, safe, safe. Because I'm going to be true to you for life. You could hand it to that girl, ironclad. Ladies, don't take less than that from any man. If they're going to love you for now, but not for all time, they're not worthy. Don't take them on. I had an uncle who died the other day. When I introduced her to him, he said, she all right for the time. And I looked at him and I thought, how stupid can this man be? My uncle telling me that my wife all right for the time. For me, it's for life. I settled that question a long time. I wasn't going to play no games with nobody. And when I go to make a proposition to somebody, it's for life. Marriage is for life. And it's the only way to love for life. Now, when you come to that place, you don't care who got other views. You write them off. Amen. And when we take that vow, forsaking all others, you know who that all others include? A lot of people who don't feel that they could be included. And Joseph is given the go-ahead by the Holy Ghost. God appears to him in a dream. Fear not, Joseph. Listen to the word. Verse 21. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Three things that were clear. Now I know that we who come from Guyana believe in dreams. And we got a convoluted way of believing in dreams. That if you dream this, it means this. If you mean this, it means this. If you mean this, it means this. If it means this, it means this. If it means this, it means this. And you're thrown all over the world to know what the dream means. And you got some expert old people that you could go to. And you tell them, listen, watch, watch, watch. You dream about mud? That's a bad dream. That's a bad, bad dream. You see them people from East Coast, you see them watching me there? You go up East Coast and you talk to all them people from Mykonee and from... Well, I ain't know about the Barbies. What y'all believe in Barbies? Y'all believe in dreams too? See? They believe in it. Anybody here from Bagotville? If you come from Bagotville, man, they hand you some things where you believe. The lady told me, she said, listen, Sherlock, what you must do is to climb up the tallest the tallest tree you could find. But she said, climb up the tallest jamun tree you could find. But you know, jamun tree got weak limbs. You know how many friends of mine break hands and break foot climbing up high up in jamun tree. But my special cousin of mine tell me, she said, Charlotte, climb up the tallest jamun tree. And when you climb up, I want you to take a bird vine and wrap the board vine around your finger, Sherlock, and say, God, help me to rise as high as this board vine in life. I've always had picture of myself climbing that tree and rising to the highest board vine that I could find, falling out of the jamun tree and crashing down to the floor, Humpty Dumpty. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put old Sherlock back together again. Believing in dreams and believing in nonsense. God doesn't talk like that. Amen. My mother said he doesn't talk with water in his mouth. You can understand what God is saying to you, and Joseph understood clearly what God was saying. Don't be afraid, Joseph. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. I've come this morning to tell you, my friends, that God is still in charge of his world. And God is still talking to his children. And he's supported by this word of God. But we run away from the word of God. We don't read it. We don't spend our time imbibing the word of God. So we believe a lot of junk. A lot of people rise up in the church full of their nonsense. It comes from all kinds of crazy belief systems. And they bring it into the church. And they talk it in the church. And even though it's contrary to the word of God, we accept it in the church. And I'm saying it's time for us to stop it. If they can't support it by the word of God, I couldn't care how much Holy Ghost talk to them. The word of God said so. The Holy Ghost will not say otherwise. You understand, friends? If I come here any Sunday morning and tell you something that the Holy Ghost tell me to tell you, the word of God says otherwise. Believe the word of God. I couldn't care how many years I've been pastoring this church. Listen to the word of God. You got an English tongue in your head. You got an English Bible that God brought to us at great cost. You know how many of us died because of this? And you're going to tell me that in this enlightened day, when the world is in turmoil and God needs you to take a living message to a dying world, you're going to tell me Gamecock Brim Rangoat? I don't want to hear that. Tell me what the word of God says. Tell the world what God says. God speaks truth. It's the only way God operates. Glory be to God. And Joseph heard from this same God. I'm so pleased I could come to you this morning and tell you I don't believe God lightly. I believe God like a man should believe God. When I got saved, I did not believe God like the women who were around me. And I thank God for all of them. But I had a serious faith. You see, when I was 13, I was drilled in algebra. You got to work it out. There's one answer that if there are three unknowns, and you got three equations and they're independent equations, those three independent equations could be solved in a certain way. And at 13, I learned how to solve it. And at 14, nobody could tell me that they had all the other answers. We could think straight. And I remember when I went out and started teaching this among some young people, and I give them the answers, they marveled. It was like a riddle. And he worked out the riddle. No, it's a little thing that all little children are supposed to learn, that there's one answer, and thinking clear could give you that correct answer. And some people never give themselves the chance to do it. And they grew up to be old men and old women and never learned that there's a unique solution. So they never learned to think straight. I've come this morning to tell you, my friends, that being a Christian is not a Nancy story. It's not a riddle. No, my friends, it isn't a case that you gotta guess the answer. Lots of the answers are found in the Word of God. And if it's the Word of God, you don't gotta work it out. The Word of God says it. It's enough. That's what Joseph had. When God spoke to Joseph, Joseph could see clear, clear, clear. Praise God. And he did it. And so Joseph could go on and do those ordinary things that ordinary men do in life. And he's going to take care of Mary. And through that, had the great distinction of taking care of the Christ child and raising him up and being the man to provide for him in the home. To be the man who's going to teach him the things about culture, how to behave in this culture. Yes, and you need a man for that. And God blessed Joseph, an ordinary man, to be what ordinary men are supposed to be. And so if they don't give you medals and accolades for being an ordinary man, be a man. Rise up and be a man in your generation. And whatever tasks you have before you, do it. For the glory of God, because you belong to who? God, and God alone. And God needs ordinary men who will be men. Don't be a jellyfish. Don't believe anything anybody tells you. And when the evidence presents itself to you, don't reject that evidence and still hold on to your nonsense. You're being less than a man should be. Joseph wouldn't do that. Nor should you. I praise God that Joseph goes down as of our first hero this Christmas. A man who would dare to obey God. A man who would dare to believe God. With the odds shouting against him. With everybody saying, the girl pregnant. Believe it. Because God spoke to me. He woke me up last night and told me so. Amen. And if you could have that relationship with God, it would save you from a lot of trouble in this world. You need that relationship with God, where God can speak to you through his word. Do you have that relationship? I couldn't care how much religion you got. If you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not ready for this life. When God saved us, he could have taken us to heaven right away. We're ready for heaven. We got eternal life dwelling in us. But you see, for this world, you need an inward guide. The Holy Ghost needs to guide you. Then the Holy Ghost needs to take the Word of God and enlighten the Word of God to you, speak to you to give you confidence to live in this world. And that's what God does for all of his people. Grab it. Jesus promised us this. He said, I will send another comforter. And when two things happened to the early church, they were never going to be the same again. When they experienced the resurrection and their eyes were opened, that they were invincible, they were going to live forever, that when God brings you at the end of this life, that you got another life to live. That was the first experience, belief in the resurrection. But the second one was Pentecost. You see, when God showed them that he empowered them and he would guide them, they turned the whole world upside down. God can stop having you live as a sloppy Christian, and he is going to empower you for service. He's going to make your life a powerful life. Yes, your life with all of your faults is about what God does with you. Like he did with Joseph. Don't be afraid to go all the way with Jesus. All the way. God's going to make that difference.